Studio B Live.
Hello, you're listening to Studio B Live. I'm your host, David Burns, with Long Lane Honeybee Farms. Good to have you along with us today. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Studio B Live. Please tell your friends about this broadcast about beekeeping, and I know they'll get a big bang out of tuning in and listening. What's Studio B Live all about? Well, to be truthful with you, it's just my wife, my family, myself, sharing with you our beekeeping experiences. We operate Long Lane Honeybee Farms here in central Illinois. We're common American folk people, hardworking people. We manufacture beekeeping equipment and we sell everything related to honeybees, including honeybees. We even graft and produce our own queens. So to help get more people started in beekeeping, we thought, you know, it'd be kind of fun if we started a broadcast where every day, kind of like a podcast, where every day we just sat around with our family, talked about different things about beekeeping, and so maybe you'll feel quite at home with us, realizing that we're just like you. We're just people trying to enjoy life, find a way to operate a business, make enough money to live a good life, and just enjoy the hobby that we started out with many years ago of beekeeping, turning it into a business. And so we're thankful today that you've tuned in to Studio Bee Live. Okay, I have some emails today that I want to answer, people asking questions, and we always invite you to email us, and we really invite you to call us. We just can't get any callers. Come on, give us a call and ask your bee question, beekeeping question. And we'll play your voice on our broadcast and answer your question. The number is 217-427-2430. I've called it myself to make sure it works, and it works. So we really invite you to do something to spark it. I think if we could get a whole bunch of people to call at once, more people would start calling in. I think everybody's embarrassed to do it. So call in, ask your beekeeping question. We'd appreciate it. The number again, 217-427-2430. You can call any time. It's an answering machine that will record your answer. So if you call it 2 o'clock in the morning, it won't even ring. It won't bother us. We don't sleep where the recording is. So call us, all right? Okay, here are some questions. This comes from a lady asking, "Hi, David, I had a bee question, and my friend who has bees referred me to you. I volunteer at a greenhouse that grows tomatoes, spinach, lettuce year-round, even in the Wisconsin winter. They have a box of bees they keep for pollination. What temp do they need to be actively pollinating? At 45 degrees, they tend to stay in the hive. Is there something they can do to activate the bees even during the cold months of fall and winter inside the heated greenhouse? I don't know enough about bees. Is there something in the changing season that makes them dormant?" Well, oh my, that's a good question. And let me express a great deal of caution about this. I've never really experimented. I haven't ever had a greenhouse, so I can't say exactly what bees will do in a greenhouse. But I do know that people have tried to do this, like putting a large tent and putting their bees in a tent during the winter. It's always catastrophic. It's terrible. Some people try to put their bees in a garage during the winter. It's terrible. In this greenhouse, what I'm afraid is going to happen is that the bees are going to fly out if it does get warm enough for them. You know, you said it's 45 now and they're staying inside. But if it gets warm and they fly out, I'm afraid they're going to go to the top of the greenhouse roof, whether it's glass or some kind of visqueen, and I'm afraid they're just going to try to sit there and get out, and they're going to die. I would worry about that. I'd be scared to death that all my bees would, you know, fly out of their hive. Because they love to go up, they fly up to the sun, and you know they'll have to circle, they'll have to get their bearings, and oh my, I'm worried about this. Now, It seems like in the email that you're saying that they've had these bees in there. I don't know if this is their first year, if they're maybe the bees are acclimated to working this greenhouse. I'm not sure, but I would be worried about it. Now, if the ceiling is very tall, that might help. I'm not sure. It may work, but my fear is that it just isn't going to happen effectively. And to answer your question, that aside, to answer your question, the bees are going to need an environment that really equals summer before they really work like they normally would. So that greenhouse is going to need to be 70, 80 degrees where the bees are, Fahrenheit. There needs to be a lot of nectar, you know, in your floral sources. It just needs to feel like, needs to be a lot of light. And part of your question is there something in the changing season that makes them dormant? Yes. Bees become dormant, or they cluster, because of less daylight and because of cold weather. So thank you for emailing us that question. It's a good question. And let me know how that turns out, how bees do in a greenhouse. If they do really well, I may bring my bees up there and let them winter in your greenhouse too. All right, here's another question. Can I paint an existing beehive? If so, what type of paint do I use and how do I go about it? Sherry, is that possible to paint an existing beehive?
Yes.
With bees in it?
Sure, I've done it.
You've done it.
I've done it, yeah.
I don't think you should do it. Why'd you do it for?
Because they were completely unpainted.
Oh.
And they were, you asked me to.
I think I did, didn't I?
Yes, me and my 70-year-old mother went out there and painted the hives.
Your mother may be listening to this, and you just told her age. No, she won't listen, will she? They don't have a computer, right?
No, not anymore.
All right, so you can say what you want to hear about her. You know, I want to talk about you painting my beehives out there. We got in a bind with hives and everything, and we just had to use some equipment that wasn't, you know, we just made it and rushed it out there. And I actually still do have some unpainted. And the truth of the matter is, I have found that unpainted boxes last just about as long as painted boxes. Wood is wood, you know. But maybe they last longer painted. But the one thing I noticed about all those hives that you painted, you know how the top cover, the telescoping top cover goes over? You only painted up to where that goes over. So every time I take a top cover off, there's that 2 or 3 inch gap where there's no paint. So what do you have to say about that?
Too bad.
Well, listen, this guy could be stung. Did you get stung doing it?
No, I did not.
Were they flying around?
They didn't bother me one bit. They were out and about, I guess. They really weren't doing anything. I don't, you know, to tell you the truth, I don't know if I would do that now, but when we did that, I don't know, 2-3 years ago, it didn't strike me that we were doing anything dangerous at the time.
Well, what about in the front where they go in and out? Do you paint very close to the bottom board?
Boy, I must have. I mean, they're all painted out there. So, but I don't know if that question is asking, it says, can I paint an existing beehive? I think Willie probably means that he's got one. Do you think he means he's got bees in it, or do you think he just means it's been painted on before? Can I repaint it?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. To me, an existing beehive, especially when he says, how do I go about it? I would say dress up in a bee suit, wear your hat and a veil, and be careful. Don't use toxic paint, because I think the fumes could affect the bees. I don't know what's toxic, but I would think some real harsh paint like acrylic or, what am I thinking of, that oil-based, you know, those fumes might overwhelm the bees. I don't know, maybe not, but I would only do it, and you only did it, as with latex paint. Exterior latex. So I would just be careful. Wait until they're all inside, like on a cool day, and then that way you wouldn't be bothered by it. But
well, actually, the day we did it was real nice and bright and hot and sunny, so I think they were out and gone.
Did you get any paint on my bees?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, that Willie, we wish you the best there. How you go about it, just get a brush or a small roller and go out there when the bees aren't too active and, I guess, pain away.
If I and my 70-year-old mother can do it, you can do it too.
Yeah, Willie may be 85. We don't know. Hey, you know, this is a great thing that I've always wanted to do, and this answers his question, but I've never done it. But here's how you ought to effectively paint your existing beehive full of bees. You go out there, you all right, let's say you have one hive, and you want to paint it, because it's looking kind of bad, right? Here's all you got to do. You take an empty deep hive body, an empty super, and a top cover. And you walk out there with these empty components, and you take off your top cover, you take off your inner cover, you take all 10 frames out of the super and put them in the new super that you're taking out there that's already painted. And you take the old super off, because you're going to take it back and paint it. You take your deep hive body, you take the frames out, put it in the new, freshly painted box, take the old box away, and then you can paint them. You can cycle them out that way. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, and we have had people who've mentioned that they do that before, because we've had several customers. I don't know if you remember this, but we've had several customers who have said, well, I have an existing beehive, and I really want to get a new box. And that's exactly what they did, too. So
yeah, you just transfer the frames out, can't you? All right, let's see. Here's a long email. Woo-wee! We got time for that today? Let's see. All right, let's do it. This is from Sandy Johnson. Does she say where she lives? I don't see a state.
California, I think.
California, we think. All right. Dear David, Sherry, and family, for now that includes you, Curry, because you're out here with us, and it says, just a little note to tell you how wonderful your talk show is. My husband, Marty, and I laugh so much listening to all of you. We enjoy your show so much. I haven't listened to all of them yet, but have listened to a couple 2 times. Oh, I have 2 questions for you. I know we are all taught to use smoke in our hives, but Marty and I don't, ever, even when they are boiling over with brood and honey. Our girls are so gentle. Of course, we're very careful with them at that time and kill very few accidentally. We've had Italians all along and now have Minnesota Hygienic Italians. We do bring out a spray bottle mixed with Honey Bee Healthy and H2O. Everybody know what H2O is? H2O.
Water.
Well, that's good, Sherry, but what does it stand for, though?
Hydrogen.
2 parts hydrogen.
To 1 part oxygen.
Did you know that, Curry? H2O? Oh, okay. Second grade, okay, H2O. All right, so they mix Honey Bee Healthy. Let me continue reading with H2O. In case they get upset, but that hasn't happened. We open the hive every week now for the sugar shakes. I assume she means powdered sugar for mite control. Sugar shake sounds like something you get at Dairy Queen. I'll have a vanilla sugar shake. Yeah, it's like sugar jitters or sugar shakes, you know. Okay, but terminology. All right, sugar shakes. So can you please tell me if you have to use smoke for any other reason? If we had Africans, we'd use it, but we don't. So why use it if you don't need it? Now, let me answer that question before I go on. I would always say use smoke because smoke calms a hive. Now, if you're finding that your bees are calm and you don't need smoke, well, then I guess, I would have to say don't use it. But I may go ahead and take my smoker with me just in case something happened where maybe the queen was superseded and the whole gentleness of the hive changed without you knowing about it, and there you wished you had smoke and you didn't. But I always recommend that. And I teach and train people to use smoke because it is an effective way to calm a hive. But, you know, it's just like everything else. If you see that you don't need to wear a lot of protective clothing when you're working your hive, then you can wear less. And if you find you don't need smoke, you can even use less smoke. And by the way, Sandy, I do understand what you're saying about Honey Bee Healthy. That's called a spritz spray. And people mix that. In fact, I've got some right here. on my shelf. Let me see what it says about mixing for a spritz spray. Ooh, I should have brought my reading glasses. I don't need them. That's okay. Suggested starting dose for honeybee healthy. Let's see, feeding. Oh, here it is. As a spray, use 4 teaspoons per quart. So you take honeybee healthy, which we sell. It's great stuff. Wow. I'm going to interview the guy that makes this pretty soon. But you put 4 teaspoons in a quart, and then you mix it up with sugar water, you know, a quart of sugar water, and there you have your spray. So that's good. All right, let's go on. I think there's another question coming. We live in Southern California, San Bernardino Valley, surrounded by mountains, and although the evenings and nights are cold, 38 to 45 right now, the days are still 70 to 82. The girls are bringing in major pollen right now. They will fly at 38 degrees around 6 a.m., but even at 48 degrees, there are always 20 to 40 girls that are coming back loaded down with pollen that drop 2 feet in front of the hive, either cold or exhausted. At about 9 a.m. when it's warm, 10 or 15 more degrees, they wake up and fly their goods all the way into the hive if ants haven't bit them first. But of course, I religiously put my the blue gloves on, put a washcloth into a Tupperware container and go around picking them all up so they don't get dirty or bit. Ah, so she picks up the little tired bees and puts them in a Tupperware dish and takes them back to their hive. Well, that's nice. The gloves are so she doesn't get stung. If her bees are gentle and she doesn't need smoke, I don't know if you need the gloves, but I think probably it feels more secure to pick up bees if you're not sure if they're going to sting you with your gloves on. Okay, let me go on reading because I hear the question already developing here. And every day they all fly out of the container as soon as they warm. Now I'm wondering if they have a virus or disease, tracheal mites maybe. There might be 20 to 40 girls that don't make it all the way back into the hive, but there are thousands of girls who are. I have treated them 2 times with menthol canola paper towels, but they are still landing before they make it all the way into the hives. David, any ideas what this is and why some of them don't have a problem making it all the way and others do? I know you adore your bees, but I think I adore ours more than anyone else in the world. They are not just insects or bugs to me. They are part of our family. Well, please keep the shows coming. I know that once people start listening, even the old timers will listen. Maybe your mom will start listening, Sherry. She's an old timer. Thank you very much for everything, including our first hive, Sandy Johnson.
Sandy has an interesting story. I don't know if you remember me telling it to you, but it was, oh gosh, was it back in the spring? And she had called up because they had a swarm that had landed somewhere at their house. And they're close to, if I remember right, they're close to almond groves out in California. And so she thought maybe it was a swarm from a pollinator or something like that. And so She just loves these bees to death, and she just, you know, kept an eye on them, and she called us up right away and said, send us out a hive, and of course out to California. And I said, oh, Sandy, you know, that it might take, you know, a week or better, you know, and most, you know, swarms don't stick around typically, at least right. The ones around here don't, you know, in an hour or two they're gone. And she said, well, you know, that, you know, she was hoping they'd still stick around, and apparently they did. And, wow. And so she got a hive out to her, I don't know, within a week or so. And then I think, boy, if I'm not mistaken, I think there was we had to expand it really quickly for her. But
send her more stuff?
More supers and that sort of thing. But she's just really gotten into beekeeping out there.
Hmm. Well, her question is, why are some of the bees flying out and then coming back in, not making it 2 feet and dropping and then warming up and making it back in? You know, that I'd have to say it has to do with the temperature. I mean, if it is warming up enough where the bees are kind of warming up and flying back in, it's what it sounds like to me. Although, It could also be that they're just exhausted, they're tired, and they just need to fly that far and rest. If they have a disease or virus, it seems like, it could be, and yet it sounds like they're doing their work. They're flying out, they're gathering nectar, they're gathering pollen, and they're coming back home. And then if they were dying there, then I might say, must be a virus or a disease or a pesticide. But they're not dying. They're just resting and warming up and going back in. That would be my guess.
Oh, yeah. You can see that around here. I know one night we got some that ended up outside for, it's a long story.
All bees are outside.
They ended up outside at night after dark.
They're all outside at night after dark. Where were they at? You mean an observation hive, or?
Yeah, it was an observation hive that went bad.
it had a leak in it or something, right? Some kids played with it too rough.
Yeah, some kids played with the observation hive and I think knocked into it and loosened up one of the panels and that's actually a funny story.
We looked everywhere. I could not find that leak. There was no place large enough for a bee to come out of.
Okay, well, this is one of those funny stories that Sandy likes to hear, so I guess we'll tell it. We had this, David made a huge, gorgeous observation hive for our store, and he just worked on that. He and our son worked on that and put that together, and it was just the nicest thing that you ever saw. And worked a long time trying to get the frames in it and get the bees in it.
Oh, it still is gorgeous. Still is gorgeous. I just had to make sure that the leaks don't continue.
Right. Well, whatever. I don't think there's necessarily a leak. The first story I'm telling about is the fact that we think somebody knocked into it too hard and loosened up the panels. So we went, this was a Sunday. We had a, some sort of a gathering here, and a bunch of people were here on a Sunday, and Sunday afternoon we left, and when we came back, I just happened to glance in the door of the store. The observation hive was put into the store, and I happened to glance in the door.
Oh, it was tragic, wasn't it?
It was. There were thousands of bees inside the store. Well, my first reaction was, okay, no big deal. So you open the door and let them out, and they'll eventually go back in that observation hive.
But one thing about bees is that, I don't know how to say this nicely, but bees poop. And they had pooped all over our store. And if you've ever dealt with it, it's real tarry. It's like a real, it's waxy brown color, and it's not dirty, so to speak, but it's just, you can't get it off. It's like propolis and wax mixed together. But we were having something the next day. Wasn't that when we were having our class the next day, or something was going on? We had to clean it really in a hurry.
We?
I started to, and then I gave up.
I thought all I had to do is open the door and let all those bees out. And Dave was like, oh, no, Sherry, you don't understand. And I'm like, understand what? And he's like, you don't know what bees do when they get out of the hive, do you? And I'm like, well, what does a bee do? And we opened the door and went in there. And like he said, bees don't defecate inside the hive. They wait until they're out, and I guess they didn't realize that they still weren't out when they got out of the observation hive, and they didn't realize they're actually still inside my house. And this is a store, actually, though, and they did just, they did just defecate everywhere. Well, you don't think about that with a bug, because have you ever seen a bug do that? Have you ever seen a fly do that, or a ladybug do that, or anything? No. And so you don't even think about bees doing that, but I guess they hold it in for so long. And
up to a month that they have to.
And then when, you would not believe it, because sometimes when they do that, it can be the size, it can be the size of a dime sometimes.
Oh, that's, no.
Look at that spot up there.
That's not a dime. That's a size of an 8-penny nail. In fact, I think that is an 8-penny nail sticking through the drywall.
Well, that one over there is not. That's not a nail over
there.
Oh,
what's fascinating is bees can sit upside down on your ceiling and poop on your ceiling.
Yeah.
Defecate.
And it,
It sticks, yeah. It's unbelievable. And that's why you should never put a beehive near a clothesline.
No, don't do that. Don't do that because they'll fly over that clothesline and your clothes will be gone. But David's right that this stuff is just, it's just wax. And it's yellow. And we started, that week was the bee class. And so it was everywhere. It was on the floor. It was on the ceiling. It was on the walls.
And we just built the building. It's beautiful in here. I mean, we had beautiful wood floors and cabinets, and we just paid for drywallers to come in.
Oh,
it was just ruined.
So, it really is awful. And so we got to trying to clean that up, and there was nothing that would take that waxy.
I tried Clorox. I tried everything.
So I finally figured out that if you use OxiClean, woo-hoo, in hot water, it will take that off. You have to really scrub. So here I was scrubbing each individual spot all day long. And I must have mopped the floor, I bet you, 10 times trying to get all that stuff up off the floor and off the wall. And if you come in here, so if any of you want to visit us sometime and you look on the ceiling, you'll still see some on the ceiling.
Well, that's just the role of a woman, you know. I mean, you guys are always cleaning up baby diapers when dogs have accidents, and now you're cleaning up after my bees.
I never think that you would have to clean up after an insect, though.
You know, we're probably getting too personal, TMI, too much information, but I've actually been working the bees, you know, and I've seen them urinate, I guess. I guess that's what it is, but it's just like clear water, especially the drones and so on. You can see them peeing, and while they're flying, just like a stream of water. I've gotten almost wet from them before.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
So,
I know what you mean, because they'll also, in the summertime, they'll come in the store, because we have big double doors, and sometimes we just leave them open, and I don't know if they smell honey in here.
Do they buy anything when they're here?
Unfortunately, no. But they come in, and seriously, they're on the ceiling, and you can feel that.
Yeah, it's the moisture, yeah.
Yeah, when they go to pee, you can just, it's like, oh my gosh, that bug just got me wet. So
all right, let's see if we can.
Anyway, we weren't done with Sandy's. The reason we started that was because I was telling about these bees. I did open the door and let them out, but it was night, and they went back to the hole where the observation hive is, and I guess it was just too cold.
Oh, that's true.
And so they just stayed on the siding of the building, and they just sat there, and it was the next day I got up and I went out there and they were still there. And remember you said, well, just wait until the sun warms them up and they'll go back in. And that's exactly what happened. Once the sun warmed them up, they went back in and they're just cold.
Well, wait a minute, Corrie. You'll get your chance here. You know, about bees needing to be warmed up. Sometimes in the summer you can get you can get these kind of cold rains where it turns cool and it rains. And sometimes your bees are flying back to the hive to beat the rain, or maybe they're sitting out front. And when I first started keeping bees, I thought, oh, no, the rain has killed hundreds of bees. They're sitting on the front of the hive, maybe down by the bottom board or up on the side, and they're just soaked. I mean, they look like just little black things. They don't have any wings. They don't have any definition, just soaked, and I'm thinking, oh, they all got killed. But as soon as this, as soon as they warm up and dry off, they're fine.
Oh yeah, I have to go take them out of the dog water dishes and other things like that, and I'll just pick them up and I'll just, put my hands under them and flip them out into the grass, and pretty soon they dry up and they walk off.
Yeah. Now I can tell another kind of a funny story, maybe not real funny, but. Corrie, you can wait. I'm on a funny story here. You need to go right now? Okay. Here is Corrie Burns, and I don't know what she wants to say. My daughter wants to say something.
Well, it's being a fecal matter.
Oh, it's not fecal matter. It's how did you say it? Defecate. It's when bees defecate.
Oh, defecate. Yeah. That's okay. Well, some people may wonder what the queen bee does in that.
Oh yeah. Okay. What the queen? If the queen bee defecates or not?
No, like
now, our audience is just sitting on the edge of their seat, wanting to know what does the queen do.
Oh, well, no. How does this relate to defecation?
Well, a queen doesn't go out of the hive.
Oh, that's a good observation, hive. Observation. Okay, so if the queen can't go out and relieve herself, and I've never seen a little bathroom in there, what does she do? I hope you don't say what I think you're going to say. You're going to gross everybody out, aren't you?
I don't think so.
All right.
The worker bees take care of it.
Oh! How do they take care of it?
I don't know. How do they take care of it?
I'm sure they...
They don't have little, like, baskets or...
Yeah, that's it. They have little bottles.
Yeah.
I know what. They take... Maybe there's a little litter box for the queen, and she goes in there, and then when it gets full, the other workers take the litter box out. Don't you know what they do? It's terrible. It sounds disgusting. They must eat it. Sure, they consume it.
Oh,
well, okay, well, you know, I mean, maybe not. We'll have to have somebody tell us exactly what they do. All right, do you have other things you want to say, Cree?
I have.
On a more uplifting note than that?
I have an interesting thing on another queen bee fact, I guess.
Well, you didn't answer the first one.
What?
Well, now you got more information that's good. All right, let's hear it.
Well, I don't know if it's really true or not, but...
Yeah, who cares?
The queen bee was known as the king until the 1660s when a Dutch scientist discovered they had ovaries.
Wow. I've heard that.
Yeah.
Well, how did he discover that in 16... What? 16-something?
1660.
Oh, they had some... You know, they had some micro telescope... kinds of things back then.
Microscopes.
Microscopes. What did I say?
Microtelescopes.
Micro telescopes.
This is too late at night.
Well, he'd have to be on Mars to use a telescope to look at a queen on Earth, you know, and okay. A telescope. But yeah, it's a microscope. Well, I have read that too. So they called it the king. Now I was in Africa and they had these like 7-foot anthills. I'm like, whoa! What kind of a building is that? Well, those are ants, and they say there are kings and queens in there.
Oh, yeah.
The African that I was with said that of these ants, there's a king and a queen. They sit on their throne, and
that's not bees.
No, it's ants, right?
So what's the connection you're getting?
Well, I can see. I was trying to figure out why some people thought it would be a king and not a queen. But so ants have kings. So maybe people thought bees had kings.
Yeah, maybe they thought the workers laid. If I don't know.
Okay, so. So then they decided she was a female. All right. Well, you put your... That's it? You had that whole tablet of information and you only had that one thing? What's all the other stuff on there? It's doodling. It's doodles. All right. What's next? And now it's time for equipment. Beekeeping equipment. Hey! And now it's time for the equipment section of our broadcast today. I'm taking a look at piece by piece of the beehive to explain to you all about the beehive. And today, let me just give a summary of what we looked at. And we have the top cover, the very uppermost part of the hive, where it's often called a telescoping top cover. It hangs over the box on the top a little bit. It has metal, usually has metal on the top. And beneath the top cover is the inner cover, usually a small piece of wood or some material with an oval-shaped hole. And then beneath that, during the summertime, you have your supers, your honey supers, and that's what we talked about yesterday. Beneath your honey supers, a standard configuration, we have next our deep hive body. And the deep hive body is 9 5/8 inches in height from top to bottom. And it has 10 frames just like the honey super has. Now, we talked yesterday about how some people will reduce the number of frames in a super, maybe from 10 down to 9 or down to 8 to get the bees to pull more wax out to store more honey. That's something I feel you never want to do in the deep hive body. I don't see any reason for that. Maybe some people have tried that and think the bees need more space in order to move around. But that's something I just don't practice. I always run a full 10 frames in my deep hive bodies because I want as many bees as possible. And I think I can get more bees according to more frames that I have in those deep hive bodies. While we're talking about deep hive bodies and the frames, I want to talk to you about bee space, because it's important that that people understand what bee space is. It was Langstroth that discovered and became familiar with bee space. Bee space is a measurement that he discovered that if bees found a thickness, an opening, or a space greater than 3/8 of an inch, then they would put comb, burr comb, in that area. And if they found a space smaller than that, smaller than 3/8, then they would actually put propolis in that place, try to seal it off. And he discovered bee space. And the reason that's so important is because when you're looking at bee space in a beehive, his discovery enabled the manufacturing of the beehives that we have today. We usually call them a Langstroth hive. They were not exactly the way he designed them, but the idea is pretty much the same. It's all about removable frames, because prior to Langstroth's discovery, most hives were kept in skips, and those were like upside down baskets. And usually the beekeeper destroyed almost all of the hive completely or part of the hive by removing the honey from those skeps. So Langstroth discovered bee space, which now enabled people to manufacture beehives so that the frames could be moved out. And let me tell you, you're probably thinking, what does bee space have to do with frames being able to be pulled out? Well, by making the frames as they are made today, they're kept at the proper space, apart from each other. And so that makes them removable. The bees don't propolis them. The bees don't comb them together. Generally not, but sometimes they still do. And so you're able to pull one frame out and look at it and put it back in, pull another one out. So this is why bee space is so critical. And there's a lot to say about bee space. And, my goodness, I don't know really where to or how much to go into great depths, but those of us who manufacture beekeeping equipment, bee space is everything. We spend a great amount of time measuring and looking at the bee space on the frames and the space between frames and top frames and bottom frames, and a great deal of time goes into making sure the bee space is accurate, because if it's wrong, not only can they build comb or put propolis where you don't want it, but it can also bring catastrophe to the hive. If the spacing is not correct, then the bees cannot travel throughout the hive properly, and they will get in a jam, and the whole hive can collapse. And this has been, unfortunately, what has happened to many people who have tried to build their own beehive equipment. They don't really understand bee space. They just think if they can find some way to, put 10 frames in a box or build some box and let the bees build their own comb or something. And if you're not really thinking about bee space, it is tragic if you build something and neglect proper bee spacing. But bee space does vary a little bit, all the way from maybe 1/4 of an inch to 3/8 of an inch. But I believe the actual correct average, so to speak, of bee space is 5/16. That's the perfect bee space. So that is the equipment section for today. We're talking about the deep hive body, and this is where all the bees live. The bee space is perfect. 10 frames in that box and enjoy it. But remember, you don't take honey out of your deep hive body. And now it's time for Back in History. Well, this week we've been talking about A.I. Root, a look back in history to the famous beekeeper A.I. Root. And I've been reading Lives of Famous Beekeepers by Kent Pellet, and this is from the August 1937 edition. That's right, 1937 edition of American Bee Journal. I want to pick up reading about A.I. Root from this article. It starts on page 381. And here's what it says. It was to cut down on the heavy volume of correspondences that Root first published his book, ABC of Bee Culture, arranged in alphabetical order. It was to cover the whole range of beekeeping and answer any questions that might be asked. It was printed in sections of 8 pages each. For a nickel, Root would send the proper section in answer to any question. He announced in Gleanings that the type for his ABC would be kept standing, that as soon as there was any improvement, it would go into type immediately. Over a period of years, the book grew into an encyclopedia of bee culture. It was translated into several languages and is today going through repeated editions. And I want to stop there and just say that this book that is referred to here, The ABC of Beekeeping, is what I first started talking about A.I. Root with on this section of history, because this book is outstanding. And again, it has also been updated, and I need to look to see when the last update was. The copy that I have, I told you about a day or two ago, is 1978, I believe. And it's called ABCs and XYZ of Bee Culture. Somebody handed me this book in 1994 when I first started fooling around with bees. And I just devoured it. It's full of pictures. It is thick. It's good. And what I do like about it, it is in alphabetical order. That's a lot of fun. But that's probably about all we're going to look at for our fellow beekeeper of the past, A.I. Root. And probably in the future, we'll start looking at Reverend Langstroth, who is credited to discovering bee space. And we'll talk more about bee space as time permits as well. Thanks for tuning in today to the history section of our broadcast. Well, that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. We want to thank you for tuning in today, and we want to encourage you to call us and ask your bee questions and email us. Some of you must feel more comfortable emailing us, and that's okay. But
actually the question line that calls, some, you know, people call it all the time, but they hang up before they ask their question.
Yeah, I thought it wasn't working, so I taped myself, testing 1, 2, 3, and it works. And today I had, it showed there was somebody that called in, and I was like, yeah, okay, yahoo. And it was some bogus message like, this is an 800 number, file number. It's just like, oh, that wasn't even any good, So so we expect you to call in. All right, Sherry, give them the telephone number. Do you know it?
Area code 217-427-2430.
That's the number you can call in and just leave your name and your town if you want to, or your state, and ask your question, and we'll have a lot of fun answering it on our next broadcast. Sherry, why don't you close out with giving them phone numbers to call in, to place orders, website information.
Okay, our phone number for orders is area code 217-427-2678. You can order online at honeybeesonline.com. That's the easiest way to do it. You can call in with any questions that you have. Now, this is separate from our order line. We set this up because we have found that, especially in the late winter and the early spring, we have a lot of folks who've got questions, and we want to answer those questions, but we can't get to orders and questions at the same time. So we have a question line where you can call and leave your question, and David will try to answer you within 48 hours. And that is the one that he just said, 217-427, did you say 2430?
Mm-hmm.
2430. You can also see us on eBay if you want to go there and see what kind of, every once in a while you can get a super, super deal on an auction if you go down there and look. Sometimes he's been known to start auctions at a dollar for something, so who knows. But anyway, we've got several ways that you can call and write us, and we'll take care of you.
Well, we do sell a lot of things on, a lot of beekeeping equipment on eBay. Now, can Sherry's my eBay advisor. She knows all about what I can do and what I can't do. Can I tell people on this program that I would rather them buy it on Honeybees Online because I don't like paying the eBay fees, or is that not acceptable to say that?
No, it's perfectly fine. It's your business.
Oh, okay. Well, eBay doesn't want me to pull people away from, but I guess they haven't really been, I don't know that they're looking at eBay, right? But you get the point. You know, those of you that have used eBay, it is a great place to advertise, to get your name out there, get your product in front of so many people, and we do sell hundreds and hundreds and thousands of hives all around the USA through eBay, and it's a great place for us to sell. But I think we get better deals if you order directly from us than if you go through PayPal.
Yeah.
Go through eBay.
Yeah, you get better deals by talking to us in person. People are calling all the time now wanting to order bees, David.
Sherry, I've got last week 7 emails from people. This week, I think, maybe a few days last week, of people saying, how much are your bees? I want 4. I want these packages. Lock me in. Do I send my credit card?
Yeah, we need you to wait until January 1st.
No. I looked at the calendar. January the 1st, we're going to be celebrating New Year's.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody wants to take bee orders. I thought I'd have the day off, but Sherry got me working these bee orders. And then I thought, well, the 2nd, and then your birthday's the 3rd.
Oh, well, by all means.
And I thought, you work so hard on these hundreds and hundreds of packages of bees that we sell. You've got all these books and tablets, and it's quite an orchestrated event. But I thought, I don't want you to have to deal with that around until after you've had a great birthday, because your birthday comes so close to Christmas that you don't get an enjoyable birthday on January the 3rd.
Everybody forgets my birthday on January the 3rd.
We don't forget it. We're just exhausted from Christmas. It was your mom's fault. But anyway, so if they call in on January the 5th, that's what I thought. January the 5th is a perfect day to start taking Package B orders. And just so our listeners will know, a lot of bee suppliers sell out in January. So don't put it off so long that you can't find we always are the last one standing, seems like, but we don't ever know. So order as fast as you can, as upfront as you can, and get that order secured as early as you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay. Well, David says January the 5th, but really, if you call January 1st, somebody will answer the phone. So
no one's going to answer the phone. Nobody's going to answer a machine. I'll be celebrating New Year's.
Anyway, but that's when we're going to start taking orders for our bees, because that's when we can finalize the price of what the packages will be.
Oh, I finalized it.
Oh, well, by all means, tell us what it is.
$75 a package.
Is that before shipping?
Yeah, shipping is extra, of course.
Okay, and what we're going to do this year is we're going to try to have a map of the U.S. on our website. Remember, that's honeybeesonline.com. Because you need to look at that and see where you live based upon where we live. And the map should tell you if you can get your bees through the Postal Service, or if you're going to have to be one of those people that have to pay for UPS overnight.
Second day.
That's right. It's second day. And that does cost more, but it's very, very worth it, and you have to. That's just the only way you're going to get them in good shape, depending on where you live.
If you live far away.
Last year, David, we actually sent a package through the post office all the way to guess where?
You're probably going to say, I don't think it's Canada, because I don't think we can do Canada. Alaska.
Yes, Alaska. We sent a pack, and he got them. I haven't heard anything from him since.
He wrote in a few days ago, and he said, hey, my bees are doing great. They're buzzing. And he said, we've already had zero-degree weather and snow, and what do I do to get my bees through the winter? Oh, maybe that wasn't the same guy, huh?
No, we have other beekeepers who purchase items from Alaska, but I don't think that's the man who bought bees from Alaska. Okay. And we tell people in Canada and Alaska, no, we can't do it because it's just too far away. But this fellow, there was just nowhere. I've actually had several people from Alaska call and say there's nobody that will provide bees to them. And I mean, he just got down on his knees and begged. And I said, okay, we'll do it, but you know, I'm telling you right now, they're not going to make it. But they did. Isn't that something?
Through
the post office. But you know, really, we're not going to. We cannot do that with most people. You really need to pay the extra and get the UPS service.
It's not all that much more when you stop.
It really, really isn't all that much more. So it's not a big deal. So anyway, David said the packages were going to be $75, and then you pay shipping on top of that. And I think that depends on the zone that you live in. So we'll have all that together then, and we probably won't find out the actual ship date until January. Again, remember that it's an estimated ship date because they can, you can't shake bees in the rain. So if the weather is real bad around that date, it's going to either be a little bit before that date or a little bit after. But we're going to have one date this year, and that's just how it's going to have to be.
Yeah, last year we had the one date, and everybody kept calling and ordering more because they got into it kind of late or something. We just wound up shipping bees from forever. We just couldn't get away from it, and it finally has to come to an end for us to move on to other things, you know?
Well, yeah, and what we might do this year, we might end up having two different ship dates. I don't know. We might have one like in April, and then we might have one like later in May for those who catch the train a little bit later than everybody else. But most people have to start realizing that once you get past a certain time, it just gets too hot to mail bees through the postal service. You know, they sit in the back of trucks, and they end up in post offices and in back rooms, and we just can't do that to our bees. So you really do not want to order them late. You really want to get in there and get on the first mailing date so that you can get them, you know, at an appropriate time.
I think the first round of, I mean, all the ones that we sent out last year, that the first date that we set, none of those died, did they? They were just perfect.
I don't remember any of them, you know. Now, I do remember you know, they go priority mail, which is supposed to be 3 to 5 days. And for some, or maybe not 3 to 5 days, maybe it's 2 to 3 days. And for some reason, that just doesn't work in some areas. I don't know why. And so I do remember one lady, it took 10 days to get to her, and most of them were gone by the time she finally got them. But that's the only one.
But the ones that we sent out, you know, the people that came in kind of late and we're shipping them in June, that was really not good. We had to send some replacements out because it was just so hot they were dying in the shipment. So do call us after January or sometime January the 5th or after and order your bees. And those queens are marked $75 for a 3-pound package of bees with a marked Italian queen. And think about paying a little extra so you can get the second day UPS, and you'll be a happy beekeeper.
Well, you know, we also have a pickup date for bees.
Oh, that's my favorite thing. I love that the most is when I get a whole trailer load of bees and bring them to our property. Woohoo! And people drive from all over states away and come over here and pick up these bees off this trailer of mine. I love it. We have a great time. It's great. I think we ought to have the place set up, have some refreshments going on.
yeah, we'll do that since we have an actual building that you can walk into this year. But last year, I remember, though, it was seemed like it was rainy and drizzly, so it'd be nice if the weather were nice and, you know, you can come into the store and have donuts and cider and
pick up their bees, and yeah, we'll have a good time.
All right, good. We don't know that date yet, but we'll figure all that out too. Well, we do thank you for joining us today. That's all we can say. Until tomorrow, remember to behave yourself.